Next talk on Isaiah. What does he mean? What does he want out of Christmas? And this talk will focus on Jesus, the life. Jesus is life. So, in chapter 40, in that first bit we read, especially when it says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, that there is speaking about John the Baptist. And he was very important to the Christmas story. His job was to prepare people for Jesus, get everybody ready for the Lord God to meet them. You may remember from the story that John the Baptist lived in the wilderness, as Isaiah had said. But why? Why does John have to live in the wild? And in fact, this question can be asked many times throughout the Bible. Why is Abraham called out of his house to live in a tent in the wild? Why in the Exodus is Moses and the ancient church thrown into a desert? And why does Jesus go into a desert to fight the devil right at the beginning of his ministry, his work on earth? Well, Isaiah's speech continues past our reading. And in that, he talks about people being like feeble grass. And throughout Isaiah's book, the Lord speaks about things that we think are full of life, but he speaks about them like they're dead or dying. Many times, the ancient church trusted in fertile fields or springs, or even at one time, an aqueduct, a reservoir in Isaiah 22, we'll look at later. They thought those things would save them. Those things had life. And time again, the Lord proves that only he can ensure life. Again and again, the Lord has turned farms into deserts, but also turned wastelands into gardens. This is why Jesus was going to start in a wilderness. He was going to prove that he was the master of life. Jesus was going to prove that true life doesn't come from where we think it does. Real life isn't earned or worked from the ground. True life comes from a person, Jesus. True life is given by him. And this is the point. In fact, it doesn't matter where Jesus is. Wherever he is, life flourishes. When the ancient church went through their exodus through that desert following the Lord, they complained that there was no food and water. So the Lord made food fall from the sky and water appear out of rocks. And then Jesus, again, multiplied bread. He multiplied it back then, but then he actually does it again in the Gospels. In Matthew 14 and 15, Jesus goes out into a wilderness. And there again, he feeds huge amounts of people with virtually nothing. It's kind of like when we clean a part of a dirty floor or a dusty shelf. It's only then that we realise what the shelf should have looked like. It's kind of the same thing around Jesus. He shows us what life really looks like, what it can really be. He shows us that there's no point trusting in anything other than the one who made everything. Why trust in the thing rather than the creator of anything? And that is actually the same message that the Lord gave to Israel back in Isaiah 22. There, Israel was under siege, enemies all around and more powerful than they were. And this is what the Lord said. You built a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but you did not look to the one who made it, or have regard for the one who planned it long ago. Jesus goes into the wilderness to prove that he is full of life. Nothing else compares, and nothing else is worth staking your life on, especially when things get tough, as it did for Israel back then. Nothing else can give you life when you need it, apart from Jesus. And remember, at the end of that reading we had, what was that? Right at the end of it, in verse 28-31, the Lord said, or Isaiah said, when the Lord speaking through him, the Lord gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. So Jesus is full of life and is light that we had a look at before. But what's amazing about those last few verses was he's willing to share it freely if you meet with him. And he's going to share it especially with the people who need it, the people who haven't got life for themselves.